good evening, friends. Welcome in to our Live at 5 sermon series. My name is Justin Reed. Honored to have you along with us here. I am the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ, located at the base of Short Mountain. If you're coming off of US 70, we just turn on Short Mountain Road. We're 6 miles up on the left. You would be our honored guest at any and all of the events, the worship services, and the whatnot that we have going on there. I am sharing this video to the Facebook page for Wood, and then I'll have my Bible already turned to the 25th chapter of Matthew. I pray that you would do the same. Share to a page. And tonight, once we go at 5, because it's live at 5 for a very catchy reason, we are going to talk about the parable of the 10 virgins. So live at 5. I do hope that you have had an enjoyable first part of the Lord's Day. Hope you've been doing things according to His Word, worshiping Him in truth and in spirit. Because if not, we need to get our priorities aligned with what He said in the book. It's not my day. It truly is Him, because He created it. What I want us to do here in our Live at 5 sermon series, give about 12 more seconds for people to join on, get on with us. We're going to be looking at the parable of the 10 virgins, one of the many parables that Christ gave. And in fact, as it is now 5, let's go live. As we're looking at the parable of the 10 virgins, parables really start in Matthew in chapter 13 with the parable of the soils. In fact, there are 7 different parables in the 13th chapter of Matthew. It's one of the latter ones that we get. What is a parable? Well, you may have heard of that second definition there. We often say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and this is so true. In fact, I really don't think there could be a better definition for a parable than this. I have beside it, the first thing there, though, a laying beside in Greek parable, literally means to lay aside. And so you have your main story here, and then your heavenly story here, and you're laying kind of the two, as it were. What I want us to do in this lesson, we're going to note that it divides into 4 parts. And we're going to read Matthew 25, the first 13 verses. We're going to see there's a preparation, there's a participation, there's a preclusion, and there's a pronouncement. And these will be on the screen, so you can make sure that you get them. You ready? Let's begin our Live at 5 lesson talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. Number 1. In this parable, there is a preparation. We're going to read Matthew 25, the first 10 verses. Now, A. When you see an A in a Bible notation or a Bible citation, that usually means go to the first hard punctuation mark. So we're going to go all the way down to the semicolon. Okay, you ready? Then shall the kingdom of heaven, that's how Jesus would often speak about heaven there in Matthew, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish, and they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels, or in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. What do we see in our lesson tonight? Before we get into it, I want to note something. The bridal party was different in the first century world than it is in the 2020 world, or really the last while here on earth. In that you would have really had a big formal reception and everybody would have been ready. And then the bride and the bridegroom show up, the husband and wife-to-be, and they all go in and they all have a big meal. And then at the end of the meal really is the marriage ceremony itself. And we're going to see that this whole parable is a representation of when Christ is to return. But let's see what Christ actually says. First, we see that wisdom is adequate. What do I mean? There are 10 virgins and 5 are wise. In fact, the Bible calls them wise. They take oil. Now, they all have oil. But when I say they take oil, they would have taken what was in their lamp, and their lamp may have been full. In fact, the foolish may have had full lamps to start with. But these took an extra container, an extra vessel, if you will. We might think of it today as an extra supply, an extra can of oil, we would think today. Friends, this requires foresight. They had to think, before they left for this wedding ceremony, this wedding feast, what if we're delayed? I don't want my lamp to go out. On the contrary, we see foolishness is not as adequate, because 5 only took their lamps, and their lamps had oil in it. But they didn't take any extra, which worked out to be their demise. Because these are the people, and you hear this thrown around a lot today, they're living for the here and now. They're not looking for tonight, tomorrow, and they're definitely not looking for next week. These are the people that live in the moment, and the Bible calls them foolish. Well, the question then becomes, you ever thought about wanting your children to be leaders? How do you do that? You teach them to deny self. What am I talking about? Why did the foolish not bring extra oil? Would they maybe be tired of standing there, holding that extra weight? Maybe so, although the text tells us that they do sleep. They're waiting on the bride and the bridegroom to come. Were they trying to save money? Maybe they were looking to buy something the next day. Really, we don't know why they didn't take the extra oil. But the wise, they denied their selfish ambitions, so much so that they bore the extra burden of holding on to that wine, or holding on to that oil, and then they also paid the extra price. I'm not saying that the extra oil that they had cost any more than the oil that was already in their lamps, but they had to fork that cost on out. If they were saving up to buy something the next day, they would have maybe had to use some of those funds. But you see what they did? They denied themselves. And they said, I'm going to need this oil. I'm going to need to be able to make it in to see the bridegroom. They denied themselves. But something else I think we need to note. And in verse 8, we see that the foolish virgins, they said to the wise, give us of some of your oil. The wise could not share with the foolish. No one, hope you hear this loud and clear, no one has enough righteousness that they can truly share with others. So the wise did the only thing they knew how to do, which is what they had already done. See, they're learning by experience. They've already done this. The wise answered, saying, verse 9, not so. We can't sell you what we have, lest there won't be enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and go buy for yourselves. The only thing they knew how to do was go buy. But the foolish have the problem that there's no time to buy. Now, it's not that there wasn't somebody out there who was selling the oil, because evidently there was, because the first part of verse 10, that while they went out to buy, they went to go do it. But the problem is, when they go out, that's it. They have left the bridal party. We see that there is no chance to repent after we pass away, friends. What are we talking about? Remember, this whole parable is a representation, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning about when Jesus Christ is coming back. And when Jesus Christ comes back, when He returns with the sound of a trump, and every eye shall see, every knee shall bow, the faithful in the Lord be raised first, 1 Thessalonians 4. Those that still remain be called up second that are faithful, 1 Thessalonians 4. There's no chance to repent at that point, friends. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, That means there's no more time to run, call the preacher. That means there's no more time to run down the aisle crying and collapse at the end of the aisle and say, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me. So to the people, and I say this in love, to the people who are expecting or who are planning on getting their lives right later, what can I say to implore you to get your life right now? Because just like these five wise and these five foolish virgins, they didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. Friends, the Bible emphatically says that the hour knoweth no man when Christ shall return. So we see on the part of the five wise, extra preparation. They were ready to meet the bridegroom. We would say they're ready to meet the Lord. But the five foolish, they thought they were until push came to shove. So that's our first point, that of preparation. Number two is relatively short verse-wise. That would be the participation. Matthew 25:10b. I'm going to read the whole verse, but really we're picking up from the word, the second and. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now notice, and they that were ready to meet him went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Well, when I think of the door being shut, the first thing I think about is the door being shut on the ark. And if you weren't on the ark when the door was shut, then you didn't make it on the ark. Here, if you weren't inside this bridal party, if you weren't inside the wedding feast when the door was shut, you weren't in. Friends, it is so simple. The prepared, there should be a D on that, but I was typing in a hurry. The prepared will go to heaven, and the unprepared will not go to heaven. No matter how much the unprepared may say to himself or herself or themselves, I've got time, I'll make my life right tomorrow, next month, let's get 2020 behind us, and I'll make my life right in 2021, friends. The unprepared, no matter how many good intentions, because we'll know that the road to hell is going to be paved with good intentions, friends. No matter how many good intentions they have, the unprepared will always not go to heaven. Well, I'm glad you asked the question then. Well, Brother Justin, what are you talking about when you mean the prepared go to heaven? What does this preparation involve? I'm glad you asked. Jesus Christ says in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, meaning the Son of God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh that dwelt among us, John 1:1-14. He says, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Friends, in order to be prepared to go to heaven, we must believe, but belief alone's not enough. We covered that Wednesday night with the Philippian jailer. Jesus says in Luke 13, and I've got my number switched, Luke 13:3, and also verse 5, he says, you must repent. He says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. That's Luke 13, note 13. 13:3, also verse 5. What's repentance? That's a change in thought that results in a change in action. So you're changing your thought in your mind, and then it works through the rest of your body. Jesus put it best when he said, go and sin no more. Let him that stole steal no more. Make right, restore, restitution. We must believe, we must repent, we must confess of our faith, because it's not enough just to believe. But Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It's two sides of the same coin, friends. We either confess him, he confesses us. We deny him, he denies us. Oh, how sad would it be on the day of judgment when Jesus is the lawyer, when he's pleading our case, and God turns the page in his book and says, all right, coming up next, Justin D. Reed, McMinnville, Tennessee. And Jesus would say, I don't know who that is. He never confessed me on earth. Now, I have, but I just use my own name because I didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Instead, what I cannot wait to hear him say, Justin D. Reed, McMinnville, Tennessee, I know him. He confessed me. He lived faithful to me. He tried to bring others to me. That's the picture that I'm looking forward to seeing, but I'm living my life so I can see that. But confessing's not enough. In Mark 16:15, Jesus says, "Go ye," which means us, "go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every living creature." Now note verse 16, "he that believeth," wait, we've already talked about belief, and is a conjunction, and joins two thoughts together, brings them, ties them together, means you can't have one without the other. "He that believeth and is baptized," "he that believeth and is immersed shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." So we've got to believe, repent, confess that Christ is the Son of God and that we believe it, and then be immersed, be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then we need to provide extra oil for the time of waiting. What do I mean by that? I mean living a good Christian life of service to our fellow man and ultimately to God. It also means striving for perfection, yet realizing that none of us is perfect. In fact, I fail on a daily basis. But I've patterned the way I do things after Jesus the Christ. And He was perfect. Still is. And then we also need to be truly penitent and forgiving daily. In other words, making sure on a daily basis that we are living our lives for God. So as we continue on through our parable here in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins, those that participate are those that are prepared. And the unprepared, they don't get to go in to the thing that they had been looking forward to. But they weren't there. They weren't ready when the bridegroom came. Our third point we see here in our parable, that would be the preclusion. And that would be in verses 11 and 12 of Matthew 25. "Afterward also came the other virgins." These are these other five foolish that they have gone to the marketplace to try to buy and to sell. Well, mainly just to buy here. "But came the other virgins, and they said, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he," that would be the bridegroom, "answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not.'" Well, let's look at this. Because sadly, there are several sad things here in just these two verses. The girls, they come back. Five foolish virgins, those are those girls. They came back, and notice what they said. "Lord, Lord, open to us." I've got there on the screen Matthew 7, 21, where towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, and then he tells the story of the wise man built his house upon the rock. He says in Matthew 7, 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 22. "For many will say unto me that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out many demons? Have we not done many wonderful works in my name? In thy name?' Verse 23. "And I will profess unto them, 'Depart from me, I don't know you, you who work iniquity.'" So the girls cry out, "Lord, Lord." Now, they were more likely just meaning master, master. But I find the correlation interesting in Matthew's gospel account. "Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" The girls requested. They said, "Open the door to us." What right on this earth did they have to make the request? It's not their wedding. It's not their event. They've been invited, but they weren't there when it started. That would almost be like today. Let's just keep the idea of a wedding going for a minute. That'd be like today if you or I went to a wedding and we had some friends and we saw the friends at the MAPCO before we went in because we stopped to get us a Coke, a pack of crackers because it was going to be a long service. And we saw them, said, "You want us to save you a seat?" And they said, "Yes. We've got to run to the store and buy supper, buy groceries, take them home, then we'll be there." That would be the same thing as right before they're getting ready to say, "I do," the people that we saw at the MAPCO said, "Wait, let us in and start over, because we weren't here." I'm sorry. The wedding's already begun. It's like when Sarah and I got married, we said we were getting married at 10 o'clock in the morning, whether you were there or not. we weren't being rude, but we also meant we weren't going to wait on people to get there. If you were there, that was great. Well, thank you for being there. But if you weren't there, we understand life happens. But what right? These girls had no right. Now, they were part of the original parade. They were part of the original festivities. And only those invited could do such. In fact, these girls, they were part of the kingdom of heaven because that's what Christ is talking about. They've had that invitation extended to them, but they were shut out. Another typo, because I'm human. They were shut out of the wedding feast. They were shut out of heaven. Why? Because they weren't there. They weren't ready at the moment that the bridegroom was ready. And so notice what the Lord replied. I don't know you. Remember, we've already quoted Matthew 10:32-33. Whoso therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whoso therefore shall deny me before men, I will also deny him. So he says, I don't know who they are because they weren't prepared. They weren't here when I showed up. But friends, the saddest part of this story is it was so unnecessary. I've got a couple of references outside of, you may want to just hold your place there in Matthew. But in fact, I'll go ahead and put all these up there just so you know where we're going. Acts 17 and verse 30. Note here what Paul says. And Paul is on Mars Hill. He's in Athens. And he's preaching. And he says, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Well, if he commands all men everywhere to repent, then that means, by definition, that God's word is available to all men everywhere. I read a statistic not long ago, and doing some research, not for this lesson, but something else this past week, saw that there is at least an entire translation of the Bible in 700 different languages now. The last statistic I saw was if there are three people that speak a language, about three to five people speak a language, they've either got a Bible in that language or they're getting one translated into that language. That means nobody's without excuse, friends. God's Word truly is available to all. But not only is His Word available to all, let's go see what Paul tells the young preacher Timothy. Excuse me, Titus, right after Timothy, that's where I was going. Titus, the second chapter, and the 11th verse. Notice here what Paul says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now men there, mankind. So God's word's available to all, and friends, God's grace is available to all. Therefore, bold, underline, italicized, this is important. Being unprepared is inexcusable. Are there going to be people on the judgment day when their name is called and they say, I didn't know who you were? Not a clue. And then Jesus is going to say, what do you mean, not a clue? When certain servants of mine knocked on your door on October the 9th, October the 10th, 2020, and invited you to Bible study the next day, and you said, I don't have time. Or when so-and-so preacher saw you out at Walmart and said, hey, I'd like to sit down and talk with you sometime. What looks good on your schedule? And you never got back. What do you mean? Friends, being unprepared, inexcusable. It's appeared to all men. Quickly now, our fourth point, that is the pronouncement, Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus has spent 12 verses for this one point. Watch. Be ready. That's it. He says, we know not the hour. We know not the day. That's the why. You ever thought about this? If we were reading right here in Matthew 25:13, and if it said, watch therefore, and get ready, because the Lord will return on December 28th, 2026 at 5:34 Central Standard Time. What do you think would happen? Nobody would be living. Well, not nobody. I know a lot of good people, even if they knew, they'd still live faithful. You'd have an overwhelming majority that would live faithful up until 12:28 at that specific time. And about 5 minutes before, they'd drive over to church, try to find a preacher, try to obey the gospel, try to make their life right, and slide in right there at the end. But friends, we can't do that because we don't know. There is a chance that Christ could come back before we have finished our lesson here this evening. Or if you're not watching this lesson live and you're watching it at a later date, there is still a chance that Christ could come back during the time you're watching it. Or Christ could come back next week, next month, next year. He could come back whenever. Here's the thing. Not even the Son of Man knows. Only God knows. He didn't tell us when He's coming back, because He wants us to be faithful to Him. So what have we learned in the parable of the 10 virgins? We must be prepared. We must be like the 5 wise, that not only did they have their lamps all trimmed and white, or bright, as we sing in some of our invitation songs, but they had that extra oil. I'm not the best at calculating how long oil burns because I don't use oil burning lamps like they would have used, but suffice it to say they were well prepared for quite some time. We see that only those that were there when the bridegroom came were welcomed into the kingdom, the marriage, which is the kingdom. We must be prepared so we can participate. We also saw how the 5 foolish came back and they said, "Lord, Lord, save us. Open the door. We demand you open. We were invited." And He said, "I don't know who you are because you weren't here. You weren't prepared. You weren't ready when I was." And since it's His wedding, He gets to kind of call the shots. That's how that works. And then there's that pronouncement, "Watch, be alert, be watchful, and be prepared." Now, quickly here, and we may go over a minute, I haven't decided yet. I want you to just think about one more analogy, and it's not on the slides, so I didn't know how much time I'd have. The Church of Christ is the Bride of Christ. Christ is the husband. And you can look at the Great Judgment Day as the Great Marriage Feast. We are to be a chaste virgin, presented unto the husband as the church. We're not supposed to be playing the harlot over here and dabbling around with that. But we must be presented as a chaste virgin to the bridegroom. Are you living up to that standard? Are you watching? Are you ready? Because we don't know the hour. Maybe you're thinking, "Well, I thought I was till this lesson." Friend, I suggest you get ready. We've already told how to get ready. You've got to believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and remain faithful. Remain in a steady, prepared state. If you haven't done that, and I can be of assistance, please comment, send me a message, whatever the case may be. I'd love to help you personally, or I would love to put you in contact with somebody else that I know would be able to help you, depending on where you're at, whatever the case may be. Maybe you've been with us here in this study, and you realize, "Well, I've obeyed the gospel, but I'm not ready for Him to come back. There's some stuff in my life that I don't want on my record when He comes back." You need to repent of that and go and sin no more. I hope that the lesson on the 10 virgins has been beneficial for you, as it has been for me. I love teaching everything because I'm reminded of so many things every time I go to teach it. If you want a copy of these notes, online my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resource, or you can Google my name, Justin Reed Bible. Go to the sermon section, alphabetical, look for the parable, T-H-E. Also, we would love for you to be a part of our midweek Bible study. That will be 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time here on Facebook. If you're not watching this live, I'm in the Central Time Zone, God's Country Time, so that's kind of how I base everything. Thursday night, if the Lord permits us to be here till then, we will begin Matthew 22 with my father-in-law, Bill Boyd. We're having a wonderful time studying in the book of Matthew. Also Thursday night, 6:30, and I'll go ahead and preview this one for you. But we have, well, let's go back. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing now. We have another marriage. A little different one, though. A different parable about a marriage. Because this one we're going to talk about, are you wearing the right garments? So that will be Thursday night, 6:30. Then I'll go ahead and preview a week from now, if the Lord permits that. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. We'll be back in the building third Sunday of the month. Means Brother Billy Henson will be our guest speaker. And we always love it when Brother Billy is able to come with us and bring his beautiful bride, Sister Patsy, as well. So hope you can join us for that. Please share this video so we can make it a goal to have everybody be prepared as much as possible. Because he is coming back and I want everybody to be prepared. I know there will be some that won't be, but I'll try to do my part. Maybe you can do your part sharing this video as well. Once again, thank you for being a part of this. We'll quickly close this video the same way we have every other lesson in this series. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.